When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Kate Berlant.
I'm Jacqueline Novak.
And this is Poog, an ongoing conversation about wellness between two obsessive friends.
Two untamable intellects.
This is our hobby.
This is our hell.
This is our naked desire for free products.
This is Poog.
Today's topics?
Loosely speaking.
The boys. The band.
Rapport adds you.
Hi, babe.
Hi. That's the sweet sound of the automatic blinds. The Hotel Cecilia.
Oh my God.
Whoa. The automatic blinds slowly moving up behind my point of gaze is causing me to feel like I was moving.
Vertigo?
In the other direction.
Oh, I know.
Literal.
Oh, is it raining? Oh, sorry. I'm on my second cup of coffee. We were talking about when to record Poog, and I was like, I need to sleep tomorrow. I thought maybe I'll wake up at 8, 6:45, doll's eyes opening. But again, that's because I'm on New York
time. I knew
time.
It would.
But wow. I
knew that would save me.
I have to. Well, first of all, I want to first shout out Elmhurst Milk, which is the nut milk that I had been recommended. Mm-hmm. I've heard the cashew Elmhurst, you know, only two ingredients, very, very clean. I heard the cashew Elmhurst was the way to go. At my local Erewhon, they only had the hazelnut. Bought the hazelnut. When I tell you that it's foaming in my Nespresso milk foamer.
Really?
The foam on it is unbelievable and it's good. And what I'm going to do, I'm back on the coconut milk Arroyo D, those little pouches. Fuck, they're good. And guess what? If you mix a little bit of that with the other one, then you have a coconut explosion. And it's really good.
Does it
good.
Taste like coconut? I imagine it does.
The Arroyo D is pure coconut. Makes me moan.
Something smelling or tasting like coconut is one of the biggest examples of plus or minus. Depends.
Wait, what do you mean plus or minus? You mean wanting it or not wanting it?
Like, I don't want my coconut oil to taste like coconut because I'm trying to use it to make other things, right?
Oh,
I'm
right.
I'm here
right.
to live this coconut flavored lifestyle.
I love a coconut
lifestyle.
It depends,
lifestyle, and I'll say.
Of course.
Pina coladas, obviously, are huge for me.
Well, I'll drop this right now that John and I went to Jamaica impromptu for 4 nights. Unbelievable. And I was drinking incredible pina coladas every day, of course. And John and I were remarking how we both love coconut so much. Coconut. A coconut cake, a coconut anything. Hmm. And that for some people, that don't like coconut so much, it's difficult for coconut flavor lovers to be compatible.
Embrace them as friends and lovers?
Yeah, it's hard to embrace them as friends as lovers because coconut, some people, to be ambivalent to the coconut flavoring or even to not like it, really hard for me to conceive.
I rarely hear ambivalence.
Oh, I hear ambivalence, like kind of like, eh.
Although, as we all remember from Girl Interrupted, Vanessa Redgrave explaining that ambivalence is not like, I feel nothing. It's not apathy.
I don't remember.
Towards the thing. I feel ambivalent towards it. It's actually ambivalent, pulling violently in two directions.
Oh, fuck.
Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
It was key.
That is what ambivalence
is? If you can't, I mean, what something comes to mean, you know, sure, right?
Right, but the
and
language.
If you're being pulled equally in two directions, arguably you are kind of in this stasis in the middle, inert, unmoving. But it's not the same as regular not moving. It's alive.
Well, that by the way, that is the true. I have a dear friend who was remarking about, you know, it's like, oh, I can't make up my mind, right? What I relate to is like, do I want this or not?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, oh, I don't know. I'm kind of in the middle. It's I 100% don't and I 100% do.
Damn.
And that sounds like
well,
what
that's exactly what we're talking about.
I know.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The gut. Go with your gut. It's divided into, have you heard of duality? Get the fuck out.
You heard of learning to live in the gray?
It's so laughable. Whose gut?
People have my gut. I think people,
yeah.
Well, this is why I told you, I have another dear friend who has a pendulum. Did I tell you about this?
I have a lot of information about that. So I'll tell you about pendulums in a minute.
Okay. Talk to me about it. Explain it for people who don't know what a pendulum is.
They know. It's an object hanging at the end of a string or a chain, and sometimes it's a crystal, sometimes it's a rock, sometimes it's a stone, sometimes it's a shell, and you dangle it from one hand, and you may ask it questions. You may establish a relationship with a pendulum. Okay, yeah. It's a divination tool. Let's say it like that
way.
Okay,
great.
So it can be considered a mere extension of your body, your subconscious, or you can choose to feel that it's coming out of elsewhere, right? Or they're all one and the same because you're part of the one, but you might establish a kind of language with it where you decide, you know, my name is Jacqueline, okay? And it starts spinning clockwise. You know, my name is Dunkel R. Fredman, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
It starts spinning left. Okay, that means, you know, no, essentially, whatever. Or I'm at peace, and it starts sort of scrambling in the middle,
right.
You know, not going either way, it goes dead still. Could also be used, like in Deborah King energy healing courses, like to check people's chakras. So they'd lay down on the table and she'd hold the pendulum over, okay? And it would pick up the energy of the spinning wheel of the chakra or like, you know, like they get to like the second chakra and that shit's dead still,
oh,
okay?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, it's shut down or it's running counterclockwise, which is like a thing. Like the chakra's not only just shut down and small, but it's like, you know, circling negative spiral. And so they would do things like tone over the chakra, like, okay, to get the chakra into the vibration. And it'd be like C note for chakra one and like D for chakra two, whatever. But it'd be like, oh. And like the idea was like some of them are, again, like another sort of tool that like if you're like a master healer, you could just like look at the chakra and be like, okay.
Yeah.
Through direct intentionality. But early days when you're learning and you have less confidence or whatever, this is just all in kind of language of this idea, whether you believe it in or not. It's like, yeah, use the tool. Later, the tool might become irrelevant. You know what I mean?
Well, you can imagine for me, someone crushed by uncertainty, you know, you can imagine a tool like that for me is it's a slippery slope. My friend who has one who she's very—
It's not
okay.
For you, I think.
Because she has a very close relationship with her pendulum. She like always has it in her pocket, always. And she will do little things from, you know, dinner reservation help all the way to like, you know, are you and this person meant to be together? Whatever the fuck.
It sounds like you're looking for a magic stone.
Yeah.
Like you're looking for a certainty stone. A pendulum.
I know.
I just heard about a yes-no machine.
Yes-no machine. I know.
I mean, you're, you know, certainty at all.
Looking for God in all the wrong places.
Yeah, it feels like it, dare I tap into my own sense of wisdom, but my sense is no tool is inherently good or bad or meant for anyone or everyone.
Right.
The magic you create yourself. You know, like someone can be a hairdresser and they're doing like work on your top four chakras and like whether they, and like they might say like, I can't do it without giving you a haircut.
The woman who cuts my hair is a Reiki master.
Yeah.
So.
Now you're supposed to ask for permission to do any healing work.
I had someone say, can I enter your force field or can I enter your energy field? And I go, mm-hmm. Don't let the dork hit you on the way out.
Have I told you about the time I overheard at this crystal shop slash healing place in like Chicago? I was in there and I went in and there was a crystal bar, AKA, you know, bowls of crystals. And the kind of idea I was with at the time was like that you like, you know, move your hand across it and you stop where you feel compelled to stop or you feel energy, whatever. Engaging with the mystery, fantastic. And then there are these women in the store who are like the healers who work in the back, you know, work in the cash register and they do healings in the back, you know.
Love it.
And I do a session with one woman. She does this, a lot of sound stuff with the singing bowls. And she says that like my energy field really reacted to that, which makes sense. I mean, and you feel the note going
by the way,
your
told you I have a singing bowl person for us.
Yeah. And when you say that, you mean the person who does the singing bowl that we're going to go to their studio and lie there?
Yeah. Never done it.
True question. If sound is sound and music is music, then is a recording of a singing bowl not the same? Because honestly, it seems like it actually might be. Like sound is sound, vibration is vibration.
I mean, I think then you just get into the aura of the presence of the real
thing. I knew you were going to not
the
say
aura
yeah.
of the real. Yeah.
But wait. Don't go away.
Okay,
hold
I'm
on.
Here.
Something's fallen away
from
you.
I was distracted. I was looking at the rain because the rain just started to drizzle and I was moved by it. Continue.
God, when the rain comes in, I mean.
Well, because by the way, I've been sitting here going, I was going to go on a walk and I'm like, well, it looks like I can't. Oh no. Okay, keep going. Maybe today I'll start Tracy for the first time.
I've been hearing about the drama of the walk you've been planning for.
All morning.
Hours.
I know. When you wake up at 6:45, 9:30 is practically dinner time.
Yeah, I know. And also, but did you say something about Tracy or did I?
I did. I said, I won't be going on a walk.
Maybe it's an opportunity
maybe
to do Tracy.
Today's my inaugural Tracy day.
See, there it is again. It's about narrative and storytelling and certainty. Okay, the walk wasn't meant to be. The rain means that today was the Tracy inauguration. Life is serving up for me.
I know.
I'm not saying that's negative. I'm just, it's become something we've been chatting about on text.
I know. The stories we tell.
You did something this morning where I was like, you were like, well, no, but what's insane is that.
And yeah, I know.
Because then something that's not insane. And it's like,
I know.
And you wanted it to be insane so that it would mean like, you know, you're meant to do something or not or whatever. Like, but wait, I just want to tell you about the ladies in the store.
Okay, sorry, go. And then remind me to say something about the Murdoch trial. Okay, keep going.
So I get worked on by one lady who was fantastic. She told me to get a copper ball, which I did, to roll under my feet to pull me into the earth. She also was like talking about like, because like going on stage and like the audience, comedy audiences, like they're like drunk and they're like, they're down in chakra one, two. You know what I mean? And like, I don't know, almost like, how do you bridge the gap?
It was I was actually trying to find it. I had someone send me like a warning kind of on Instagram when I started doing my show in New York. I mean, like lovingly was like, careful. She was like, you're giving a lot of yourself out there. And like, she just sent me some like casual, some like gentle warning.
Like do your energy maintenance.
Mm-hmm. I was like, don't talk about my crowd that way.
Oh, well, yeah. And also I do think there's something to like energy hygiene or whatever that I find kind of compelling. Like, you know, I had to realize that Okay, I want to just say the one thing about the lady and then I want to say
throwing your energy out into the world.
Okay, help me. No, help me. Because I'm reconsidering, once again, ADD medication. I'm like, there must have been advancements in the last 10 years. Okay, I'm like, maybe it's time.
I know.
So this one lady I heard kind of being like, whatever about her skill as a healer versus like the other lady in the shop.
Ooh.
And I was like, I actually prefer the other lady in the shop. And the one who worked for me and was fabulous because I didn't hear the ego that I heard at the cash register from this one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Literally, she's like, some healers, like, they do this and they do that, whatever. However, she described, you know, the others were, I just like to get in there, fix it, and get out.
Wow. Yeah, right.
I was like, and let me guess, you leave the dust of 1,000 egos with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the person who acts like everyone does it differently, but I just do it, you know, I just do it the best way.
Yeah. Come on.
And then the whole thing with these healers is that they have to replenish, right? Like if they're like not at the master level yet, right? Like these early like in their process intuitives, you know, they don't manage their own energy. They don't look after themselves. They just run energy through them and into the client because they're trying to do it so good and whatever. And then they get depleted and they get sick. So there's this like story with Deborah King where she was like, she for the first time was doing a live streaming and I like tuned in this like live streaming healing workshop.
Fun.
And she was putting it out to the live streamers. And so she did this thing that she normally does where she builds this sort of energy template around the workshop, right? Usually in the room that the people are all in. But this time it was like, okay, it has to go out globally to, you know, all the students everywhere who, you know, so she essentially like expanded her field around the earth. Okay. And then was like knocked on her fucking ass after. And she had to learn like,
oh, cool.
Like her shit was like flying out in like the bardo. Like it was like, like her energy field was just like a net. And so then she had to learn to, if she's going to do the live stream thing, to like focus the template more. Like, no, it goes directly from my computer to that person's computer. And this one, she didn't say that, but this is my interpretation.
I know. I still have trouble wrapping my head around because I've done it. But the energy workers that do it on Zoom and all that.
Give it to me, like, baby, because you're not alone. And then we'll talk about it.
Yeah, but tell me, explain to me. So
let's hear the, that's natural doubter believer.
Well, I remember, here's the thing. This mean psychic, who I've been to a couple times.
Yeah.
Last time I went to him was years and years ago. He's like a fucking asshole, but he's right. But he's so harsh. It's like really brutal. And I saw him once in person. I mean, this is almost 10 years ago that I saw him in person. First of all, he told me that he told Princess Diana she was going to die.
That's always a good sign when he lists his credits of successful death predictions.
I remember he was like, I grabbed her thighs and I told her to get out. She was going to die here.
He said thighs?
Yeah, he was sexual for sure.
No, but he said thighs he grabbed Princess Diana's thighs?
Grabbed her by the thighs. He said he gripped her by the legs, by her. No, he said thighs.
How could he even see her thighs?
Her by the thighs. He was with her in person.
No, right. I just mean like.
She's so thin.
Was she in a skirt suit? Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I guess
to touch a princess's
knees. He was
knees.
Sitting across from her, grabbed her by the thighs and said, get the fuck out of here. You're going to die here. Okay. I was like, interesting.
And here was the British monarchy?
Yeah. I guess he was at the freaking palace. And then he told me, he was like, oh yeah, I don't have to be. Because I remember at the time he was like, I could read you on the phone. And I was like, the phone? He was like, I can get a name in an envelope and I can write a letter knowing nothing about that person. And just send the letter back.
It's funny because I don't doubt that someone can have that skill, okay, or gift or combo of.
But he was an egomaniac. I mean, clearly.
But the egomania.
No, he was
suggests to me
wild.
Those gifts are gonna leave.
No.
This is a thing. This is a real thing I've heard about. Okay.
Oh my God.
Which is if it falls out of the light, okay, if you let ego in too hard, the gifts can leave.
Fuck.
And, you know, you must be humble about your gift. And I don't think that means, like, I don't personally believe, I've heard people say, like, I don't think people should charge for that kind of work, like spiritual related work. I disagree. I think you pay people for their time.
Yeah.
You're paying people for their time.
Absolutely. I mean, if I'm talking about labor, I mean, your force field, if you're laid out because you're doing so much energy work.
Right.
Come on.
Although they're kind of like, if they're going to go pro, they actually have to learn to manage that.
Well, that's the thing. How many appointments
can you do?
You ever like go in for someone and then there's someone coming out? You're like, wait, there's no time in between. Like you're going straight from them to me. You're not taking 45 minutes to lay down.
No, I think that's like
a bit clinical.
You know, some people I've worked with that I think are excellent will say, we need to reschedule because I don't believe I'm depleted or I'm sick or I'm whatever. And I'm like, thank you.
Absolutely.
So
that's cool.
So the remote, okay. The remote work, because I've pitched energy healers to friends.
Yeah.
And I say, don't worry, you don't even have to leave your house. Okay. They don't even have to look at you. You just get on the phone, you know. And it's like this belief level. This is what I find interesting. It's like the believer doubter, right? We all like come up with our metaphysical rules for what makes sense to us. So I think for you, it feels like you to me, you're like, well, no, it's being in the presence of the singing bowl teacher. Like you kind of believe it like between like chakras 1 and 3, dare I say, okay, 1 to 4, like almost like, because those are the ones sort of more connected to the physical.
Yeah, I believe in the theater of the thing.
I don't even know if it's the theater. I mean, it might be the theater. You know, anything can be theater. I think like, okay. So for me, it's sort of like, if the shit's real, the shit's real. Okay. And if on the level at which something like radical and instantaneous, like work is being done, time is being collapsed and space is being collapsed. Okay.
Yeah.
Or if anything, space is being collapsed. So it's like, if you can't do it at 3,000 miles. Why can you do it at 1 foot?
Right, totally.
Okay. I'm not necessarily saying I believe this. I'm just saying this is a conception I have that I entertain, which is like, if you're only able to do it at 1 foot, it's because you are just dumping energy directly from your personal field to them. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You're like scooping up some energy from the earth under your feet and just hauling it onto the person. It's relatively more physical it's like lower.
No, I see what you're saying. The Zoom healing is the highest form.
I guess I am.
I love that. You've presented a good case.
God, meet salesman.
Wait, okay. I really want to tell you a story.
Great.
Listen. As I told you, John Early and I went to Jamaica. Very last minute, impromptu. I went to New York thinking I was coming right back to LA and basically just convinced John to go on this vacation.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that 4 nights might as well be 7.
Okay. Well, that's big news for you. Because you've been...
Huge news for me.
You've been like afraid.
And particularly, here's what I'll say. It's all about the nature of the vacation. But this was a true resort. I mean, didn't leave the grounds, right? This was like... And tropical resort vacation. 4 nights is actually 7. And I'll say it again. Because...
Oh my God. You know what I feel is coming?
Mushrooms the whole time. Because I was actually going to say... Because by the way, I said to John maybe 6 times... I'm glad we're not staying for 5. I said it so many times.
Exactly.
You were.
I was like, don't you think 4 was actually perfect? Because I remember I said to him, another day of lounging by the beach.
And acknowledge?
Yes. I was like, another day of.
Is he laughing?
Yeah,
at it?
He laughs. But he also agreed because I was like, another day of lounging with the pina coladas on the beach. Like, no.
It'd be too much.
I got to get back to work. Yeah. I really, really couldn't.
I mean, sure. I just think like, if the game is to make whatever you chose be perfect, you'd be capable of doing that. So if you were forced to have been on that trip for 7 days.
Yeah, imagine if we'd only done 4.
I don't think you'd be going, you know, this is too much.
Yeah, you're
okay?
Totally right.
I don't think you'd be going, this is too much. I think you'd be going, the great thing about when you do 7 is you get there and you do the pina colada, you do the grass, you do it. And by day 4, okay, this is you on the next trip, okay? This is you. Because having had done this previous rationalization, it's true. When you get to day 4, you go, I get it, pina colada on the beach.
Oh,
then you break that through. Lays the base where now you actually feel comfortable leaving the grounds for a night to even go to the restaurant someone recommended locally.
Yeah,
no, or you're to
right.
go on a single
I've
hike.
Been
whatever.
Called out, and you're correct. But wait, I'm not at the story. So here's the thing. So we go to we're in Jamaica. It's I went to Jamaica, but really I went to a resort. You know how it is. I mean, you're like I was in the grounds right 4 nights.
Yes,
unbelievable. Me hesitant to say where it was because they didn't give me a discount. I'm like, you're not getting the on-air.
I mean, that's the whole thing.
Advertisement like, without the rate reduction, sweetie.
That's the whole thing. And
well,
that's why.
By the way, here I go dropping. I went from Jamaica back to New York for a night, had a gorgeous day at the Ludlow.
Mm.
And by the way, going home to the Ludlow, it's like going home.
Home to the Ludlow, yeah.
Home to the Ludlow, always. It was my first time staying in a queen loft, by the way, just one night. Unbelievable.
Just I one night there to make it okay.
One night. Yes. I stayed at the Ludlow for basically a month in a really, really tiny room. Okay. Still loved it. Would sigh with delight every night going to sleep. This, I have to say, holy shit. The loft is quite large. And then in the bathroom, separate dedicated tub with a window view out. I was on a high floor.
So you know, it's really interesting. I have a huge tip for the listener.
Okay.
If they go to Ludlow. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
So when I was there, I stayed in, I think, the Studio Queen, right?
Yeah, that's what I was living in.
Pretty sure it was the Studio Queen. And it's just, it feels like the most just romantic, almost like boarding house in the sense of, I mean, like Joe goes to New York, Little Women, okay? I mean, in the sense of like, it doesn't look like a hotel in there. It looks like a lovely bedroom.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Romantic, yeah.
To me.
Yeah. No. The sconces alone.
Yeah, the sconces, the lighting. It's like a normal bed. Like it's wooden 4-poster bed. It's not like bolted into the wall and everything's like bolted into the wall. So
totally.
It feels like you're in this like dreamy, modest. It's fantastic, right? Now, the room below the Studio Queen. Are you ready for this? So I forget what it's called. It's
the
like
Studio Mini.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Because it's not the one with the single beds or whatever. That room does have a bathtub in front of a window.
Well, there it fucking is, because I've stayed in the Mini with a bathtub. Yep. And I'll say, and I have something to say.
Yeah.
I have something to say. Bathroom at a hotel defines the experience. And I'll say it one more time. The bathroom is the room.
The bathroom is the room.
That is everything. And that's what the Ludlow has in spades. The gorgeous bathrooms. And yes, I stayed at a Mini. Very small, well-appointed, gorgeous. And then you're in a bathtub with a window.
I love when you say well-appointed.
I mean,
when you go for it and use the language.
Okay, but that's a really good tip. And then I'll just say, so home to the Ludlow, I get into the Queen Loft, loved it, beautiful. And I did not get the burger. What I got was my other favorite thing on the menu, which is the sunchoke kale salad with chicken.
Interesting. You would want something with a sunchoke. I mean, your name might as well be sunchoke. It's like if caperlant was an item in a warm salad, what would she be?
Sunchokes, yeah, because I had artichokes. My mom would serve artichokes constantly.
In an artichoke-loving household, yes. Artichoke was significant, I feel like, in my home. She did not. Like, I'm just referring to the barmaid of the house, like my mother. Like, I'm just like, it wasn't the artichoke. It wasn't the artichoke with a thing of butter, but I feel like artichokes.
Oh, yeah. See, I was served the full, like, my father, my mother, and I, each with a huge artichoke.
Eloise and her artichoke.
And the leaves piling up. I mean, that's such an image of my childhood.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose.
I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wait, really back to the Ludlow.
Yes, no, I'm not done. So you got your sunchoke back home at the Ludlow.
I took a gorgeous bath looking out over the city in my robe, moaning, eating the sunchoke salad. I just was like, it's hard to leave.
Did you eat the salad in the bathtub?
Eat the salad in the bathtub? No.
You heard me. Because you know I'm into that sort of thing at times.
I ate it on the bed. And I even...
Eating on the bed. I don't know if I dropped all of the photos that I had from staying at the San Francisco, the proper at San Francisco, which is one of my absolute favorite experiences.
Ooh, wow. I've never stayed at a proper.
You should... San Fran, I would highly recommend. And I want to try them all. But I literally will never probably try the one in Austin because I will never not do what I can to get to the Hotel St. Cecilia. And look, I told them I wouldn't hide the fact, the existence of the hotel, because they deserve the recognition. I remain terrified. The only thing I can be at peace is that, I don't know, how many poog hags can roll through Austin at a given time. So last time I was here, it was ecstasy. They have this turkey club that I was getting by the pool. Okay, the espresso over ice is pristine. And I get here and I'm like, I wonder if Cassie's still there, okay? A woman who works here named Cassie I just remember the words like Nobel Peace Prize coming to mind when I thought about her service, okay? When people understand customer service, yeah, to such a fucking degree, customer service not even the word, hospitality, you know, there are people who get it and then there are people who fake get it. It's literally the difference between it's souvenir tiger versus tiger. Okay. It's doing an impression of an impression versus like organically the thing. Okay. Having the eye to adapt in the moment. There is no one true choice. There's no one thing where it's better for them to do this
Location.
Or this. No, it's having the fucking hospitality gift to make the right choice. So I'm thinking about it. I'm like, oh, I wonder if she's still there. I hope she is. And by the way, a lot of the people I recognized were still here. And I think that's a good sign.
Absolutely.
That the people like it enough. So who knows? But I go in and I'm like, there's no way she's going to remember me. I go, Cassie? Okay, coming in the first morning. Okay. She's like, yeah, hey, how are you? Okay. And I'm like, going to order. She's like, espressos rocks?
No.
Yeah.
Why? You're just now.
Okay.
I could write a paper about, yeah.
Okay. And I want to even be dead clear. She didn't do espresso rocks. She didn't perform the fact of her own knowledge as though it was. So let's cut back to, I'm in New York 2 summers ago on my daily trek to the theater. Okay. On day 2 in a cafe, they start making my drink. They see me, you'll recall, wrong, dead wrong.
Oh, right. The wrong order, but that you, yeah.
And then I went to correct. And then someone shushed in the back and said, no, that's not the drink, and still sent out the wrong drink.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just compare
we're
to that.
We're referencing an old Poog episode. Dig through the archives if you have to.
Okay, and it wasn't about showing off that she knew it. And even better, I didn't even feel pressured, which can happen, to get the regular order when maybe this time I want something else.
Of course, you don't want to break the rapport.
It's like, it's so cool that they remember. Yeah, like the usual, and you just want to have the usual experience. So it wasn't like espresso on the rock.
Oh, and that will lengthen your life. And I will say that Cassie there, she's going to live to be 104.
Yeah.
Because that will lengthen your life. Those kinds of interactions.
Yes.
And I sent you some fucking interview about this, but it's like, but this is huge. And everyone has to hear it. That one of the
rapport adds years.
Yeah, rapport adds years. Listen, one of the major things that they can look to as lengthening one's life, adding longevity to one's life.
God,
it's not diet. It's not exercise. It's community. And by the way, positive social interactions. And they're not even talking about deep friendships and family. I repeat,
thank God.
They're not talking about friendships and family. They are talking about
our lover.
And they even say the conversation with the barista.
Holy shit.
Feeling connected to people in that way. That adds longevity. It's not about your relationships, which get, you know, is murky territory, involves a lot. They're talking about those daily interactions, those feelings of rapport with
people
around you. That is what adds years. So Cassie at the hotel, she'll live to be 109. I just added a few years to the life expectancy.
No,
because
I know,
she has that already with people, and there's such a poetry to moving through the world that way.
There's a vibe here. It's the whole thing. It's Saint Cecilia, and Cecilia is the saint of travelers and musicians. Okay,
no,
and then it's small, and it's sort of on this like this old house.
Cecilia is a gorgeous name.
Absolutely.
Have you ever met a Cecilia?
I don't think
so. I know
so.
Celia, but Cecilia.
Yeah, and Cecile is another one, but. I was like walking around going, Cecilia. Okay, which I don't know if that's a pronunciation anywhere, but I was like,
Cecilia
like,
Berlin.
It would be nice if we were like, Cecilia.
Could be my daughter.
Oh, daughter. I don't know. Cecilia, though, almost feels a little too on the nose for your daughter.
Mm.
The Cecilia.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Word is like curls to me, like in a synesthesia way. Like Cecilia is curls.
Oh.
It's like the curling hair. So I just want to say, yeah. So there's like old house kind of thing, right? And there's a little gate. And you walk in, there's a little neon sign that like suggests you're at the right place. And then you walk in the gate, old house, and then they've built the newer poolside bungalows. And they don't try to make the newer poolside bungalows look like some fake version of the old house. They're like, no, these are new.
Uh-huh.
And there's elegance and confidence in that choice.
Yeah.
Next, there's these two ancient trees, okay, that was confirmed last time, okay? And they are exactly just, I mean, I'll post a picture. They're a big part of the property. There is a vibe. Chris and I sit there on the patio. There's this gorgeous patio area. Every time this happens, I mean, this time and the last time, we sit there trying to analyze why it's so good. Trying to locate where another place would have gone wrong. Mm-hmm. Okay,
it's ineffable.
Here's one example. So there's this lawn kind of in the center. This lawn area, it's sloping. It's natural, like, because it's just like a property where the two trees are. We were like, any other hotel would have felt the need to stick a few chairs down there or something. Chris was like, or worse, chessboard. Big chessboard, okay?
Oh,
Chris was like,
yeah, of course.
And
of course.
Chris hates the chessboard. And Chris was like, even I would have put a chessboard there. He was like, I don't know if I would have known not to. We're staring at it, we're going,
fuck.
They didn't have to hotel up that part.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Don't
so
hotel
then
it
I get
up.
Home, I race from the show. I'm hurrying things up at the merger table because I want to get in time, okay? Before the kitchen closes, et cetera, whatever. And the cocktails are divine. I normally get their HSC sort of margarita, whatever. This time I'm sitting there and I go, all right, I'm going to change it up. I'm studying the menu and there's something called the Mystic Lady on it, okay? And I'm like, it's like referencing bergamot and like foam. I love foam in a cocktail. It's referencing chamomile. And I think the spirit is gin, which is not usually where I go, okay?
Okay.
But the overall thing. Cassie comes over. I go, you know, I usually get just like the margarita, but something about the Mystic Lady is calling me. And she goes, it's really good. And she's like, actually, that one's mine. She invented it.
I love it.
Okay. So I go, yes, I'm getting it. She walks away. When she comes back, bringing it back, it's like a, you know, coupe glass, a soft purple liquid with a foam. And then these little stars, these little gold stars sprinkled across the top. Okay. And
what?
Like, I don't even know what they're made of, but
what?
Something that melts, but not immediately. The stars remain. I have photos of it.
Good.
And I just go, when she came back, I just go, are you the Mystic Lady? She just kind of was like, yeah. You know what I mean?
I
but
love
it was
it.
So not ego that I don't even know how to understand.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get you to we should do something here and then stay here.
And again, this is my illness, but as you're talking, I'm just like, I'm excited for our vacation.
I know.
Okay. And again, I want to make it clear. The Cecilia, the Ludlow, listen to the treatment they're getting on the podcast and it's from the heart. I will not utter the name of the place I stayed in Jamaica because they did not offer it.
It's
they
important.
Did not want
Wait,
in.
It's not about punishing those places.
No, it's not about punishing.
It's about honoring the ones that do.
Yes.
To maintain the value for the Cecilia or for
we
the
Ludlow.
We have
to maintain the value.
Right.
Folks.
Or the proper. Gave me a glorious discount.
Yeah.
In San Francisco.
Yeah.
To maintain the value for them, we cannot honor the others.
The partners. Poog partners. Because they have the Poog stamp. And we are going to work on trademarking that. Okay.
Yeah, we are going to work
so
on that.
In Jamaica. So the final night, John and I, and by the way, beautiful bar. Again, you said that the hotelification, the bar overlooking the ocean, beautiful, not hotelified, just very, again, just romantic, not fussy, really, really pretty. Okay, the point is, final night, we're leaving dinner. We hear incredible music playing. We're like, what's going on? Like, where is this band coming from? We stumble upon what is clearly a private party. There's a long table and there are like 15, so we had heard from, because of course you made friends with Don who took us out, you know, snorkeling. And he was like, oh, there's these, there are lawyers here.
Who's Don?
Don,
is he a hotel or a guest?
Sorry, hotel.
Okay.
So but the point is, it was like, yeah, there's some lawyers staying here.
Oh my God.
We clocked the lawyers. We've been tracking them. We go, we stumble upon what is a private lawyer.
Like, we can charm their asses.
Well, the band fucking rules. Okay.
Oh my God.
Talking 7-piece band. And the lawyers aren't dancing, as you can imagine.
Oh,
they're
wow.
by the bar getting hammered. You know, it's like all these, it's like these like men, these like
little sweat on the back of an overly long shirt.
Older, like white guys, like, bah, you know. I go, John, we're crashing this party right now.
Oh my God. Of course.
We go in, we start dancing.
Yes.
From the heart. Again, we're not dancing because it's like, oh, we're dancing because we're fucking moved by the fucking and
now what did you see someone catch a glimpse, their eye kind of over their buddy's blue shirt shoulder?
Yeah. A few people started looking at us because, but it's not a big party. I want to be clear. 20 people.
Amazing.
It's a small party.
And much
John
riskier.
And I clearly don't belong. Very risky, highly risky.
Phenomenal.
People are looking over at us. We're dancing. The band goes, this is our last song. And it's that thing too, where it's like, oh no, like they're used to performing for tourists. So it's like a reggae, like, and they're playing like, you know, Every Little Thing's Gonna Be All Right, right?
Yeah.
Or something. And I was like, no, that can't be it. No, more, more, more.
Were you actually calling that out, or is that just your soul?
I'm calling it out.
Verbally.
Don't stop. So one of the guys, of course, one of the gay lawyers came up to us and
thank
was like,
God.
Are you guys those comedians or whatever?
Yes.
We're like, yeah. So then I start chatting him up and I go, listen, the band cannot be done. You need to tell your boss to like add a couple more hours to the fucking thing or whatever.
Yeah.
I watched this happen
said,
in real
I'm the
time.
Boss, sweetie. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I watched this partner with a cigar in his hand,
oh my God.
Go to the band, something. Clearly a little negotiation happens. They start playing.
The partner,
more.
The gay lawyer is not.
No, the gay lawyer
not
is not
the
partner.
Cigar, to be clear.
Yeah, this other
he
guy.
He has spoken to the cigar man.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting too excited. I'm forgetting the order. I'm getting to the order.
Okay.
So the gay guy is like, da da da. I'm like, you got to tell your boss to like get the band to play more. Because it was like 10 o'clock. I was like, they can't be done. This is, you know, I am by the bar, cigar man, lawyer. I hear you guys are comedians, right? And I'm like, yeah.
No.
We start chatting. I go, you got to get, he goes, we're, you know, we're a law firm in Philadelphia. By the way, this like, hammer drunk, and this is this
oh
detail will come later. This hammer drunk lawyer comes over to me. We're the best law firm in the world.
No, this is too much.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
The best law firm in the world. Drunk out of his fucking mind, leaves. I'm talking to the lawyer. He's got the cigar. At one point,
I'm the best law firm in the world.
Yeah, best law firm in the world. And then the
are you wearing those sandals?
I'm wearing my Target. So again, want to be clear. Went to Jamaica from New York. All I had were winter boots and winter coats. I had only winter gear. I emergency ran to Target.
Which
and
is
I got
where you go when you have a trip.
Two swimsuits, flip-flops.
One of the only
two
places you
dresses,
can get swimsuits
everything.
All year long.
And honey, it was dead winter, 30% off.
And the Exhilaration brand continues to surprise and delight every season. That's all I'll
say.
All
I know is I had
literally
everything I needed for my trip. So I'm wearing, but the partner is talking to me. He's got a cigar. He goes, does this bother you?
Cigar. Okay.
I go, it reminds me of my childhood.
Oh my God.
He goes, oh, did your dad smoke a cigar? I was like, no, but his friend used to. I'm like,
ew.
I know.
No, sorry. I'm loving.
Like, what am I doing?
My ew
no.
He was phenomenal. Okay.
And John and I both felt he was flirting with both of us. We're like, wait, he's like,
there
loves
it is.
Us both. Okay.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure.
So I'm like, we got to get the band to play more. And then I watch in real time.
So you're
cigar
on
man,
a mission.
Go.
This is you. You've locked in that tonight, there's more, like you've decided the band has to play more. And you're like,
yes.
A dog with a bone. Okay, keep going. Sorry. It's just an essential part of your personality in this.
Well, I locked it in. I watch him go over, talk to the lead singer. They work it out. They start playing. I go over to the bar and I go, I want 7 beers for the band right now.
Oh my God, Kate.
They're not getting them beers. And I carry over Red Stripes to the band.
Yes.
So fun on the company tab.
They said they're all sober.
Needless to say, I know. They start drinking
Wait,
beer.
Wait, it was on the company tab? Wait, hold on.
Yes. Yes, it's on the company tab.
Did you say it's on the company tab?
Did you know it was just happening by virtue of?
I knew that it was a private party. I knew
right.
that the card was down.
So if you just asked the bartender, hi.
Yeah, it's a 20-person party.
And he sees that you've been talking to the partner.
I had a tequila soda on the company. Yeah, yeah. No. I'm in. What are they going to do? Hey, you can't have drinks here? No. Not after we're dancing and making them experience
yeah,
joy for
literally
the first time in their
lives. Okay? Life. The entire reason they came on the vacation.
The entire reason they came on the vacation.
Is spontaneously. Sometimes you have to be for someone else the entire reason they came on the vacation. You have to actually serve that up a lot in life.
Oh.
I mean, if rapport, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I go over, I give them beers and I'm like, you know, and I go, I want to hear what you guys want to play.
Oh my God, Kate.
They go, we can play anything. I know. I'm like, I know, but like, what do you guys like? I'm just like, I'm sure you guys. They start to fucking.
Oh my God.
Crank it out. I'm on my knees at one point dancing so hard. I'm feeling it so hard. I'm on my knees.
The finest
okay?
story.
And I want to be clear, the ocean is at night crashing.
Oh my God.
We're on the beach. The music is unbelievable.
Mm, cool sand.
We're getting down so hard. And then by the way, people are starting to dance. Suddenly some of the lawyers are starting to dance.
Oh my God.
Then it goes even further. And I go up and I go, what do you guys want? You want a shot?
To who? The band again?
Yeah. They go, yeah, we'll take tequila shots. I go to the bar, I go, hey, I'd like to buy.
Yeah.
I didn't say I'd like to buy, but I was just like, can we get some tequila shots for the band? I watch them open a brand new bottle of Patron.
Oh my God.
And they pour thick, heavy shots.
Thick holiday pour.
Holiday pour shots. I take them over to the band. I just want to say that it was a joy to buy tequila for the band on the company card. We're dancing, having a great time. Everything's great. The partner's like, oh, if you're ever in Philadelphia, you know, all of this.
If you're ever in Philadelphia, we'll represent you.
Right. Yeah. John, of course, was like, I'm trying to sue someone in Philadelphia. And the guy thought it was real, of course.
Oh my God.
Like, no, we're joking.
Because guess what? I thought it was real when you just said it. Despite John constantly telling lies, okay, as gags, I believe every single one.
Yeah. Well, the same thing happened. We were talking about one of the lawyers and the lawyer was like, what's up with you guys? And John was like, we're here with our kids.
Oh my
God.
Thinking
that of course they'll know it's not real, but they think it's real. You know, just it's constant. Okay. So the point is,
he's out of control.
Finally, the band closes. Finally, the band really does end. Incredible set. We're loving it.
And you
it.
Were like, that's the perfect time to end. You're like, that was the perfect time to end. I couldn't have danced a single more times. if they played one more song, that night would have been ruined. Ruined.
Yeah. We've been over.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
the medical school dean at USC, was leading a secret double life.
Is he breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
So, great night. John and I, it's our final night. And we're like, we cannot believe that the night ended with that. Like, the trip ended with that. Just unbelievable. We go back to our room. We're sharing this room. It's around 12:30. I hear all of a sudden.
Wait. This is...
Okay, no. So, it's scarier. So, okay. So, we're in this unbelievable lagoon cottage on the water.
Yes.
Fucking psychotic, okay? It's the nicest place I've ever stayed. And we're in there and we hear... something, we're brushing our teeth together, his and her sinks, and we hear like something that is enough to make us both kind of turn around and go, yeah. Like, what was that? And it kind of, ooh, a little scary, like, oh, you know, is it a fucking like animal? Like, what the hell? So we hear that, we're kind of scared, but then we immediately dissolve. So we're brushing our teeth. John goes into the bedroom area. I'm in the bathroom and I hear John say, whoa, you guys, I go in, two drunk lawyers are standing in our hotel.
Wait.
No. My adrenaline shoots through the roof. Two drunk men in the room here to clearly rape and murder. Yeah. I start to scream. I don't scream. I go, get the fuck out of
wait,
here.
Wait, what the hell? John goes out first. You're still in the bathroom. And then you hear John say, guys.
John, I'm in the bathroom, but it's like one open. I hear John as if a puppy has wandered in. I hear John say like, whoa, you guys, like, what are you doing here? I go in.
So they entered.
The fear.
They're not at the door. They entered.
They entered.
So
they're standing.
So John's
at the foot
reacting.
Of our
he's
bed.
Not at the door, and people have kind of argued
their
They've
way
in.
They've already walked in. They've already walked
John
in.
John Early saying, guys.
No, John sorry. Early is like, guys. I was like,
okay, so give it to me for real.
I say, what the hell? And I'm like, and one of them is the guy, one of the best law firm in the world. It's that guy.
Of course
guy.
He is. Yeah.
The super hammered guy. And then a less hammered, but still very hammered guy. The very hammered guy is walking in and he's fully in. The other guy's still kind of lingering by the doorway. And they're like, this is our room. This is my room. I go, this is not your room. They're like, this no. is our room. And
it's
I'm like,
scam.
This is not your fucking right. room. I was like, you need to get the hell out of here right now. And I walk outside.
To encourage them to get outside and to be in more public space.
Yeah, and just because I soon realized, like, okay, they're not being aggressive drunk.
Yeah.
They're actually so hammered. And I think they actually are confused.
Okay.
Like something's going on that I don't understand, but this is the scariest thing in the world.
And there's a good chance they are staying in a lagoon room.
Yeah. I don't feel the need to scream like, help. Like, but because it's also the resort, it's small. It's quite, it's like if I were to scream, everyone would hear or whatever. But this one guy won't get the fuck out of here. And he's like, this is my suitcase. I'm like, that is not your suitcase. That is our suitcase.
Is John saying anything too? Like, is John
screaming?
John,
I have to say, not protecting me. I peacocked. I was pumping. I was like,
yeah, you went, I was you went, like the masculine energy.
A switch got turned and I was like, get the fuck out of here.
How the hell do I not have this on film? This is devastating.
I know. So I'm like yelling loud enough, being like, get the hell out of here, whatever. They wander out. We close
the
door, lock
it. You're not trying conversational at all. You're not, like, I feel like I would just
no,
be like,
no, I'm get the fuck
yeah, okay,
out.
Get the fuck out. Okay.
No, I'm pure anger. I have the adrenaline surging. I'm like, how the hell are they in here? What's going on? Are they, you know, but then I'm also clocking, okay, they're not being like physically aggressive or anything. Like they truly are so hammered, but there's nothing worse on earth than drunk people. Like it's just the scariest. Totally, yeah. It's like
horrifying.
Like The Last of Us, like the zombies, like that's alcoholism. Like if it's all around and it's like, and I'm just like so scared of them because they're so out of their minds. And so I immediately call the front desk and I'm like, hi, there are two drunk lawyers. Did you say lawyers? Because I know they're from the retreat. Right. I'm like, there are two drunk men from the lawyer retreat. They're in our room. They got in. The guy's like, okay, lock your door. Like, do you want me to send security? I was like, yes, you do need
wait,
to send
security. Wait, were they out yet?
Yeah, they're out. They're okay, out. So but you I close hear them door. Yelling by the door. And I'm like,
and you
how the hell did they get in here? How the hell? And John was like, was the door open? Maybe the door was open. I was like, the door was not open. I opened the door and closed it. There's no fucking way that door was open. So I call the front. I hear one of them outside, like, our key worked for your room or something. Like, well, how do we get in? So there's an identical Lagoon Cottage directly across. Okay.
Okay. This is so building
like,
slight.
Maybe
the lawyers become, first of all, wait, don't forget they're lawyers. So watch their defense closely. Why did my key work?
So
show us that your
I'm
key
still
work.
Like,
we can't.
Well, by the way, I'm like, imagine being dead asleep and the door opens. And there are men in there. I mean, that's literally your life's ruined. Can't sleep ever again. I mean, but the point is they're gone. So I watch them. I go, okay, they're in. I go, so clearly.
You're like, okay, at least that is their room. Can't. I'm like, across the way.
That is their room. But like, what the hell? They weren't angry. Like I was like, okay, we're going to sleep. Sleep like a baby. I said to John, so as soon as they left, I go, this room is free. I say to John.
Okay.
And I'm walking around the room. So sure. I go, if they think we are paying for this night,
now is your belief, and tell me if this isn't even coming into it, okay? But is your belief that the key of men was the keys were made in such a way that there's no security because these other guys' keys does open our door? Is that what you'd be coming at the hotel with in your mind?
Yeah, I'm just kind of like, how is this possible? But yeah, their keys work for our room.
If that's true,
right? That's insane.
Then
if that's
like,
true, then the night. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, you know, wake up, have coffee. Fucking breakfast on the lagoon, diving right into the water from the room.
But what about in the morning? Do you see the lawyers or anything?
No. So I'm terrified of seeing the lawyers, right? And I was like, John and I are going to be swimming all morning outside the lagoon. In the lagoon, if they come out and try to talk to us, I'm going to be like, hey, hope you're like. But then I'm also realizing, okay, this was a mistake. Like they weren't intruding.
Thinking it was his suitcase is interesting.
But here's what I can't get over: them walking in and the one guy not leaving. That's where I'm like, burn in hell,
right?
There's a woman screaming at you, get the fuck out. And you're just standing there in the
room. And
you're
trying to argue the case.
Yeah. I mean, he was. Anyway.
But the one guy, you mean the less drunk guy?
No, the more drunk guy.
No,
the more
drunk
guy wouldn't leave.
And the other one did? Like he left, like trying to get his buddy out.
The other one is in the doorway. And I start screaming at him, get your fucking guy. Get him. And he's like, oh, whatever his name is. Like, oh, let's go.
Right.
I'm like, no, physically go get him right now. Physically go get him right now.
Did it ever occur to you I'm not suggesting this. I'm just curious because my mind, I'm putting myself in the circumstances to physically like push his drunk body towards the door.
So I didn't want to touch. No.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to touch at all. And I was waiting in the doorway.
Like it
and
could
I
stimulate.
Yeah. And I just like, even in the moment, I was like, he was so drunk. He still wasn't fully leaving. And I had the urge to kind of, John said he like put his hand on his back kind of firmly to lead him out, but didn't push. And I'm still like, when he comes out, I'm like, is he going to like turn around and sock me? Like, I just don't know. Like he's so fucking X's in his eyes. Drunk.
Oh God. Yeah.
Might as well be dead.
Right.
I'm like, anyway, in the beautiful glow of the morning, I'm like, maybe we won't get the room free. I'm like, maybe. Now here's what I want to know. What do you think?
Well, are you still wondering what happened and why they got in? And are you dead sure you closed the door?
Yes.
Because I would assume knowing you, you're pretty fucking sure if you closed the door or not.
The door was closed. And that is fully confirmed. Yeah. The door was completely closed. What do you think I'm entitled to?
Was there any follow-up by the hotel in the morning?
No. That was checkout day. What do you feel?
I mean,
how much outrage? Or
is there none?
Am I overreacting?
Did you feel outrage at the hotel? Because do you believe the key opened both
yes,
doors?
Yes. And I felt, yeah, I guess at that point I thought their key opened our door.
You know, it would be an ugly, I don't know what this would prove or do, but an ugly little thing would be to switch your room key mm-hmm. at the party. So the lawyer switches his room key with yours, pulls it out of your little purse, okay, whatever, and then uses that to get in your room and be like, but my key worked. Look.
I know. Oh my God, I know.
Like, I'd be like curious about like security camera. I don't know. I would be curious about what happened.
Okay. So we go to check out. Everyone's been lovely that works there. It's been a great experience. And I say to the woman at the front, did they talk to you about what happened last night? And she's like, no, what happened? I tell her and she's like, oh, be honest. She's not as horrified as I would like her to be. I was like, they were like drunk and like wouldn't get out. We had to like scream at them. I was like, it was pretty awful. It was like pretty scary there when they first came in. It was like, you know, but I'm like, well, she can't like these guys, whatever. She says there's a thing because our cottages, normally it's like people are renting that whole area. So it's like, oh, it's a bachelor weekend or whatever the fuck. So the two villas, the key worked for both.
She alerted you to that.
She just
admitted that.
Yes.
Kate. I'm in shock. That is absolute negligence. That is absolute. That's insane. What is the primary responsibility?
So I froze.
A room with a lock.
So
it's like you don't pay for the room, you pay for the lock. You know.
So
like,
I said
you pay for the whore to leave. You know.
I said, and she kind of said that like she was like, "I'll alert the IT people." I was like. Yeah. And I kind of, because she's so relaxed about it, I was like,
IT people, my God.
Yeah. Or something. And I was like, whoa. And I wasn't, you know, I just said, is there anything you can do for us? I was like, that seems pretty, you know, crazy that their key would work for our room. She goes, I'll be right back. I hear her on the phone. She's talking to someone. Then she comes back and she goes, I talked to our manager. He's sincerely sorry.
I wanted to give you
we're going to take two of your dinners off the tab.
Ew. I'm sorry, Kate. Nope. This is bad enough that you didn't get like, you didn't get it in the moment right there. And I think you still have recourse. This is insane.
This fucking rules. I'm going to email them today.
Like, I feel like they're...
I'm going to email them today because...
Listener, correct me if I'm wrong.
At a Holiday Inn, another guest's key doesn't work for your room.
Exactly. It's the number one...
At a roadside motel. Yeah.
Also, like, there must... I mean, not to have to call the boys in Philly, but... Like legally, surely, like to run a hotel, there are certain like basic things. Okay. Actually, it's an interesting idea. You should get the Philly boys themselves to represent you.
I know. We sue them.
We could have assaulted her in the courtroom.
Well, by the way, that's almost the difference. I'm like, if I had been alone, I would have lost my fucking mind. And I would have. Okay. So you're saying this is huge, Jacqueline. So you're saying I should email and say, it just doesn't sit right with me paying for that final night.
Oh my God. Kate, no, it just doesn't sit right with you not calling the cops, in my opinion, and taking massive legal action. Final night. I mean, okay, there's a couple thoughts. One, I've never taken legal action, okay? I know nothing about legal action. I'm speaking merely in the world.
I would never take legal action.
You know, whatever. Yeah. Like, what happens if a hotel has bad wiring in their room, okay? And a minor fire started and they put it out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's because they had bad wiring like that they installed. Because here's the thing. It's not even accidental. It's like essentially a policy.
I'm actually, as you're talking, I'm like, we're not paying for that final night, honey.
You keep saying final night. Whole trip. plus a free one next year. At their sister property. Final night. Kate, what I'm trying to suggest to you is that you were put in literal
danger.
Literal danger.
I know.
Okay.
I know. By the way, John and I could have been having sex. Like, you know what I'm just saying?
Yeah.
They came in 12:30. We could have been, by the way, it wouldn't indicate under any circumstance. Could have been naked, could have been fucking, could have been asleep, could have been mid proposal. We could have been mid breakup.
Well, these are not, again, I go back to assault, Kate. You were, it's like,
no, assault,
it's not about
I
like,
know.
We could have been having the finest steak dinner of our lives. Okay. And what about a roommate?
By the way, the lawyers say the lawyers getting on my side. We could have assaulted them.
I mean,
them.
Well, this is what you say to the lawyer boys. You head down to Philly, okay? Okay. And you roll in and you say, boys, there's two options. You can either be dragged into this case as a witness Or you can take the case and you'll fight your goddamn rights. You'll just fight your goddamn ass off to get me a settlement. Or I don't know. I don't know. There's something poetic to be gleaned here. But to me, it's one thing if there's negligence. I mean, I think it even goes more than negligence because it's like systemic. It's how they
so the
run
key,
their thing.
No, because
like,
what she said was the key works programmed for both. She goes, you're staying on this part of the, it's like, so, okay, picture this, the cottages, right? There's one like big main house that's between the two cottages. It was not occupied.
Yeah. No, I
so
get it.
Us and the drunk guys had the little front cottages.
Yeah.
So it's just always at those keys. The keys should not work for other rooms.
The two flanks.
Wait, so talk to me. I mean, what would you do? So I emailed.
Was there a safe in the room?
Yes, there was a safe. And they're really pushing the safe. They were like, lock up. I've never used the safe in a hotel in my life. They're like,
I know.
They're like, the safe is there. And there was a little note that was like, you know, but I was like, I'm not using the fucking
we're
safe.
We're not responsible. Yeah. No, and that, but I point that out to mean like hotel rooms recognize the danger, like the secondary level, which is like, a key worked for drunken lawyers on Kate and John's room and they came in the night. And the key was programmed to work that way. They explained it to
us. We had to scream at them to get out. Why was it
programmed? Because it's part of this area that normally people will rent. Like, they'll rent all four cottages.
Okay.
And so these guys drunkenly stumbled into their room and they're like, the key worked. What do you mean? This is our room. That's my suitcase. Okay. And the hotel the next morning is like, yeah, well, actually, the keys do work for both of those.
I actually was genuinely terrified.
It could have been fully
beaten up.
Anything.
Yeah. So tell Chris, we got two dinners comped.
Two dinners. Chris, that's when you start using the word unacceptable.
Does Chris think we should get a free night?
So Kate is asking, does Chris think Kate and John should get a free night? There it is. Get the whole thing, he said, shocked. This free night. Kate's obsessed with that night. Well, I wasn't almost assaulted the previous night. Yes, you were. They just happened not to stumble in that night.
Oh my God.
I mean, whatever. To me, it's not about like playing like the Poog game about free stays, because of course I am. Like, it's an egregious safety failure.
By the way, imagine, and I'm not going to do this. Imagine if I go to Yelp or even right here, fuck Yelp, even here on Poog, I go, hey, if you stay at this place, other people have a key to your room.
Yeah.
So enjoy.
Enjoy.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's amazing. But anyone can get in there.
Anyone can get in there at any
hour.
Rape
and murder you.
Yeah. By design. By policy. Not it can happen due to glitch.
Okay. I'm sweating because I'm so excited to. So I'm basically, I'm going to text John.
I'm scared you're going to.
What? What are you scared?
No, like I'm almost like scared you're going to go too soft again and like just be like, can we get the cocktails free too? I just like, I don't.
What should I say? I think I'm going to say is, hi, we had a beautiful stay, blah, blah, blah. This happened. I'll talk about how terrifying it was, which it fucking was. And then I'm just going to say, it just doesn't sit right with me. Like,
see, it's still not quite there where it is for me. I'm not sure what the beautiful stay thing is all about for you at this point. I mean, I guess, is it because you want to go back and you're hoping that they give you like, you know, a tower of profiterole with like a cut key at the top.
So you're saying with a cut key at the top.
We all remember what almost happened last time.
What would you do if you were me?
Well, I would probably Google a little bit about what legally, because if you think, you know, questions of one's safety have not been brought up before in a hotel, you know, there's a world of stories out there. So it's sort of like, I'd probably Google a little and just be like, you know, the primary expectation of a Motel 6 is that, you know, I'm not at home, but I can stay somewhere where I can guarantee a roof over my head that no one but me has the key to. It's the primary expectation of a hotel.
Yeah.
And I was alerted, not that a glitch or some kind of error of mere negligence had occurred, but that by design and policy, the adjacent, you know, rooms had access to my room for the entirety of the stay. If I had found that out, I would have been, you know, really upset. Like, if nothing had happened, but I found that out. However, I did find it out to find drunken, profoundly drunken,
out of control,
large
men
had entered my room using a key.
Would not leave.
See, like, because I almost... What I try to focus on,
they were
Kate,
rightfully confused. They were rightfully confused.
It's funny. Like, you know.
And by the way, Jacqueline, I left out a detail.
Their careers and lives could be ruined if you'd like.
I should have taken my phone out and start filming them. That's a huge mistake not to.
Well, I know.
So, and this is furthering the confusion. When they were outside and they were talking at the door and I screamed, you better get the fuck away from that door right now. Because they were out there. And I heard, and one of them, the less drunk one goes, can we just... can we just come inside and look for our bag?
Oh, you still thought?
He was still that confused.
He still thought? Yeah.
That's when I almost felt bad. I was like, oh, damn, they really are. Yeah.
See, this is actually where maybe you do. The lawyers are not the villains here. Let's start with that. This is where you and the lawyers, you and John and the lawyer boys team up, okay, and get a settlement. Because, like, what if you had... You know, they could argue that their careers and lives were almost ruined because what if you had immediately pulled out a camera and put them on TikTok going, these lawyers from Philadelphia firm, whatever,
drunkenly broke
into my room at night. I'm just saying like, it's very funny. Okay.
By the way, my adrenaline, I am so excited to write this email.
I'm not actually joking about, I'm actually thinking it might be interesting to reach out to the law firm.
listen.
Their law firm.
No, I know. But wait, listen. Would you and your... I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to reference the law in my email. But listen, if you were me, would you put in the email something on the lines of being billed for the stay feels pretty egregious? Or would you just let them come forward with it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I once heard someone say something like, when we said I had a nut allergy, I was delivered a nut in a cocktail.
Oh, yeah.
And had an immediate allergic reaction, ran to the store, whatever. And at the end of the meal, when they tried to take the round of drinks off, the ones that had the nut in the drink, okay?
Yeah.
Are you already composing the email? Psychopaths, okay? Because you're afraid of losing the words that just came to you that you feel are the golden ticket.
Okay, wait, okay. keep going.
You need to breathe and realize that I'm not going to forget. Like, I'm only going to get better as the day wears on.
You're right. You're fucking right. Okay. What you're gonna draft, okay. I love you. Okay. Thank you.
But I heard the person I was dining with say something like, I was shocked when the bill came out.
Yeah.
I assumed in no way was I going to pay for this meal.
Yeah.
I was astounded when I was handed a bill. And by putting it sort of that way, the manager was like, oh shit, you're right. Like basically, was like, you're right. And then, are you ready for this? And this is where we differ, or where, you know, the people I was with, and I think you might differ, okay, is that he goes, we are absolutely paying for the meal. This is not about, like, I'm not going to be the asshole. It doesn't pay for it. Like, we are paying for the entire meal, and we are, even if you wouldn't let us, we'd be tipping the wait staff, you know, heartily, whatever. But he's like, we are paying for the meal, like, but I just want you to know I was completely shocked that a bill came.
Ooh, okay? There it is.
And then and they're going, no, we'd really like to comp the meal. You are absolutely right. We'd really like to comp the meal. And the person was going, absolutely not. No, we're paying. And I'm going, can we just...
Because
you know, I was paying for half the meal. Like, whatever. Like, it was hysterical that one person who's like making the big scene is like still like is opting for all of us that no, in fact, we will pay. But setting aside trying to get it for free or whatever, I actually don't think the answer lies in talking about how terrified you were and all that, okay? Because to me, that's like, it's like if someone breaks into your house, if someone does something like blatantly illegal, you don't have to claim terror for it to have been illegal. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It almost makes it like you're trying to seek emotional damages for something that was kind of vaguely... Mm. Like, to me, all of the, as you can imagine, this is very disturbing or whatever. It's a little bit like...
It's like suggests you think you don't have a case.
Yeah, exactly. As though you don't have a case, yeah. And to me, it's just like, I would never pay a single dollar to stay in a hotel where I didn't have a room that locked. That's all you can say. Or that gave access to my room to strangers. Or whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
I mean, and also, maybe you don't care and who gives a shit. And it's like, it's funny and... egregious and maybe you're kind of like, I don't even hate the hotel.
That's why I'm like, because I don't hate the hotel and I even have the thing of like, well, I don't want to cause a fuss but why not? were on the boat. They're talking about, oh, Justin Bieber and Jimmy Fallon come here. I'm like,
really?
Pretty sure Jimmy and Justin wouldn't want anyone to have a key to their fucking room to come in. And at the very least, have a glimpse of their wife's tits.
Right. The bare minimum.
at the very least.
I mean, there's nothing more dangerous in this world than a pack.
I know.
A pack of drunken Philly lawyers on vacation.
They can disappear bodies.
And worse, on a work vacation. They're not there with their family.
They do a huddle in the morning. How do we do this?
Yeah.
My body is sent down the lagoon into the open ocean, into the Caribbean Sea. Never, like, wow. Okay, well, this is now a law.
Usually it's like a series of errors.
Yeah.
Where you could be really pissed that a series of errors. Yeah. They didn't do this. They didn't do this. And you just go, I'm really disappointed overall because every step of the way, you know, these things happen and I could have been killed, right? That kind of thing. This is not that. This is the most, what is the most, if you had to come up with the most egregious, you know, just blatant fuck up you could have, what more could it be that they rented out the space under your bed for someone and didn't tell you? It's as close as that. So we'll see.
Chris in the background going, the whole stay's free or whatever. That's amazing.
I needed support.
I can't wait to draft this fucking
email. I'm going to consult my friend who
yes.
Because I, first of all, with nut allergy, even though I said I have nut allergy and I ordered
knowing,
a cocktail.
Knowing John, John's going to go, leave it alone. I think John's going to go, leave it alone. I'm going to go, I don't know about that.
Well, there is the thing with where it's not just you paying, like, it's like, it's not just something you bought for the two of you. It's like you both paying. So
yeah.
It's this weird thing where you're almost like, you know, it's sort of both of your
names being dragged through the mud.
I also, you know, don't pay twice, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't count energy discussing on Poog as failed energy. This is the art of conversation.
Because listen, here's what it is. I'm not going to get into a back and forth. I have no urge to like I'm fine.
Three lines. I think it should be free. I think we should be refunded. It's three lines. I think we should be refunded for the stay. Other guests had access to my room the entire time, unknowingly to me, and ultimately knowingly when the worst thing that could possibly happen, a group of drunken men forced their way into our room. We're lucky that violence didn't occur. You're lucky that violence didn't occur. I could have taken out a fucking knife and you could have taken out a gun and shot them.
Yeah. Okay?
And then they'd be dead. When it wasn't even their fault.
I know.
Violence could have occurred.
Such a fucking good point.
So violence was narrowly escaped.
Yep. Okay. Well, this is, we got to log off, but this is a bonus Poog Law.
My God. Imagine.
I'll be represented by Poog.
In power suits, 9-inch heels. Okay. March in.
Oh my God. So wait, I texted John. By the way, I'm emailing the hotel. We're getting more money off with your blessing.
More money off. You're hysterical. You're softening it for John. Can you just say except John thinks I always think I'm being robbed.
I know. Jacqueline.
Whole stay's free.
Jacqueline thinks the whole stay.
Their lucky violence didn't occur. I'm not saying devote your lives to it.
I'm not going to lose sleep. I'm not going to engage in a big, I don't want to fight, but I'm going to write an email and just go, you know what? I was shocked to receive the bill.
Yes,
the whole
just run it past me. Okay. I don't need any softening language.
Oh, I'm definitely running it past for you. Are you kidding me? And you said you're going to contact someone else to consult?
The friend who said the thing at the restaurant.
Okay, great. All right. Well, thank you. I'm going to pass the email in front of your eyes first before I send it. And here we go.
I just think it's worth, worth noting the danger. It's possible in that.
That's for sure.
Maybe there's something that can be done.
Yeah. Danger. Okay. Love you.
Love you.
That was Poog. If you enjoyed Poog, please subscribe, rate, and review. If not, we will press charges.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.